All right, I will call to order this regularly scheduled meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors on this beautiful 17th day of July, 2012. And I will ask that the audience join the board in our morning Pledge of the Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much and good morning. First item on our agenda after the pledge is public comment number one. This is a comment period for items that are on today's agenda. I know I've got a couple people that would like to comment. As I look at these, I take them as an item that was on a previous agenda. And if that's accurate, we'll hold that till the end of the meeting where it's on the agenda for items to be spoken, addressed that are not on this agenda. If there's anybody who'd like to comment on something on today's agenda, please come on up now. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to consideration of minutes for both July 3rd and July 10th canvas.
I will move approval of the minutes.
And I'd second it. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next is consideration of personnel actions. Everything as listed. Is that right, Shelley? Everything as listed.
Move approval.
And I'd second. Further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Consideration of claims. Our first claims period of the new year, and I actually kind of like this one.
Relatively light.
Yeah, if we can extend that out, we can have a pretty good year.
I'll move approval of this current claims list.
And I'll second it. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Now, consent agenda. Look at that. Wayne's not here.
We're just rolling right along.
Consent agenda, we need to pull item number 7 on the consent agenda as we don't have all the documentation necessary. Shelley, my assumption is that as we pull it for lack of documentation, it will just automatically roll to the next Board of Supervisors meeting?
I would prefer that you actually
make a motion to defer. Okay, well, we'll pull that one and hold it. So we'll pull 7 for now, Paul.
Okay.
We're also adding road closure 1302. And we've got 3 utility permits that we're adding to the original agenda that went out last week.
Okay, I'll move approval of the consent agenda with the noted changes and the item pulled.
And I'll second it. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Discussion of item 7 that we pulled, that is consideration of a permit to display fireworks for Lawn Pro LLC. In Colo, they did not have the letter from the local fire chief, which I think is part of our requirement, which is why I'm recommending that we just pull that to our next meeting next week.
Do we want a motion to? I'll make a motion that we table item 7 for the consideration of the fireworks permit until next week.
Second. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That disposes of consent agenda items, which brings us to agency reports and our friends Brett and Harlan. We're moving. How are you guys this morning?
Good morning, everybody. Great. Great. Y'all have the... Each of the board members has a copy of the detailed quarterly report. I won't go through all those numbers, but have them there for you. During the fourth quarter of FY12, the office staff interviewed a total of 167 veterans, and that also counts surviving spouses. That's up by 47 compared to last quarter. 14 of those veterans, we worked with them for county benefits, and 153, we worked with those folks on applying for state and federal benefits. County benefits, we had 4 come in for utilities assistance, $598.99. 6 veterans came in for rent assistance, $2,026. 3 veterans came in for dental services, $642. And one veteran came in for transportation, $54.74. For a total of county assistance for the quarter was $3,321.73. Looking at, we also, at this time of the year, we get our VA expenditures report from VA, and that's their expenditures to us. And so I got quite a bit of a few numbers here, but let me just kind of go back a few years and give you some numbers, and then I can step it up here to the last year and the year previous. In 1999, our veteran population was 5,887. Currently today, it's 5,166. And in 99, our total expenditures, or what we received from VA in comp and pen, which is compensation and pension, was $2.4 million, or a total of $3.9 million in all federal dollars coming to the county. In 2010, we had 5,210 veterans, and our total compensation was $5.6 million. Everything included ended up being $13.9 million. And from 2010 to 2011, our population dropped. It went to 5,166 veterans, but our compensation went from 5.6 mil to 7.3. All figures added in overall increased from 13.9 to 16.3. So,
and that's from VA to Story County, not to Story County, but coming into Story County.
Federal benefits coming in.
To the
expendable dollars for the county.
Yep. So a little over $2 million of an increase in the last year. A lot of that is of course, there was a cost of living in there, but remember, any veteran that we lost, and you can see we've either been losing veterans or they've been moving. That's pretty much the only way out of the county, and so we've been making up those differences, and then also we went back and picked up. There was a lot of Vietnam veterans that had some Agent Orange issues yet. And that was also picked up also during that time. So, any questions on that? Okay. And this is also going to surviving spouses. Some there's some benefits for them. So, some of this is figured into for that too. Looking
Brent,
at the war
Brent, before you move on.
Okay.
In 99, when it was $2.4 million and a total of $3.9 million, and in essence, we've tripled the $2.4 million that we're bringing into Story County, is that because the VA has made more dollars available, or are we just doing a better job helping our veterans get to those benefits?
Our outreach programs, bringing more veterans in.
Okay. Yeah. So the dollars that were there, understanding cost of living increases and everything else, the dollars that are there are similar today as
right.
they were in 99. We're just doing a better job going to find them.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Looking at the war era veterans that we've seen for the quarter, World War II, we've seen 56. So, we're still taking care of our, we have our younger veterans coming in the door, but we're still taking care of our World War II veterans. We haven't taken care of all of them yet. So we had 56 there. For Korea veterans, we've seen 26. Vietnam, 35. Then Persian Gulf, which is the first Persian Gulf, is 18. And then OIF, OEF, and OND, which means Iraq, Afghanistan, and Operation New Dawn, we've seen 22. And then Cold War or peacetime, we've seen 10. Out of that group, there was 9 that was homeless. And remember, the goal is to end homelessness by 2014. And then I've seen one person that was in jail. Anytime we have anybody that goes to jail over 72 hours or over 24 hours and they request a visit, I have 72 hours to visit that veteran. So for the quarter, total was 167. Our budget for last year was $162,475. We turned back in $279. No budget amendment was required or requested, so money worked out good for us. Every day, one soldier commits suicide in America. Let me just say that again. Every single day, today, yesterday, tomorrow, one soldier commits suicide in America. The military can't defeat that enemy right there. And with Luke's help, he's doing Operation Warrior Wellness. It's a program across the state of Iowa and the U.S. for post-traumatic stress disorder. And so with our efforts in the office and with Luke's efforts with this problem, not only in this county but in the state, we're really stepping up to see how many veterans we can help with this. And so he has a program, actually, that he's going to be doing under Operation Warrior Wellness, which is just another outreach, and it's some other coping methods that they're going to be teaching some of the soldiers. All right. We have moved from our temporary office to our permanent office. I'd like to thank facilities and the IT department for their work. For the last 14 months, we've moved three or four different times. And even though they were temporary offices, a lot of the veterans didn't know that. They just thought they thought they were all permanent offices because that's the way they looked. And so it's kind of confusing to them that we were moving again because they didn't know why. And so we're all moved in now, settled, organized, and ready to go. We're at 126 South Kellogg, and it's Suite 201. Nice and handy off the elevator. And so I invite the board to stop up sometime. You can see this. All right, that's all I have for the quarterly report. Does the board have anything for us?
I'd like to take a minute and recognize you and Luke for the work you're doing. I know we had a pretty good increase in what the county's spending in Veterans Affairs, going from $110,000 to $162,000, and primarily that was moving Luke's salary over into Veterans Affairs as he came over. But I've been really, really impressed at the increased level of service. You've taken what was an outstanding level of service when you were doing it, Brett, and really increased that with Luke's help. And so I know I'm appreciative because this is one of our areas of the community we really need to take care of. So thank you to you guys. And please pass it on to Luke, who I know is in the office right now, making sure you guys are open and operational.
Yep, and I thank the board for giving us Luke over there, and we really have been able to reduce the wait times for the veterans, and the benefits are. They're going to take a while, and right now it's about a year and a half. We do a claim today; it's a year and a half before we find out the results. So we have a lot of what that ends up is we have a lot of different claims and a lot of different stages all the time to make that happen. Okay, I'd like to just turn it over to our commissioner. Our chair this year is Harlan Borton. He relieved Chad Cook of chair. And for any words that you have for the office,
just Harlan, just remind everybody how long you've been on the commission.
My name is Harlan Borton, and I've been on the commission for 25 years. And I am chairman again this year, and I'd like to thank the board for reappointing me for another 3 years, so when this term's done, it'll be 28 years. How does that sound?
Thank you, Harlan.
But no, I also would like to thank the board for their support of our office, because without your support, we just can't do it. And by giving us our new office, I was in there yesterday. Brett had to go, and Luke was sick, and so I went in and ran the office for about 4.5 hours. But I think that is the way you've designed it is really good for the veterans of Story County. And as a commissioner, I'm also a voice for all the veterans of Story County. So if anybody comes up to me with any problems, and I can relate them on to the other commissioners and Brett and Luke and whatever, But being a commissioner is not just a 1 hour a month job. It's a everyday job. You know, we're out there looking all the time to try to do the outreach like what you're talking about. And so I feel that our department has grown quite a bit. I know when I first started 25 years ago, we probably had less than $2 million federal benefits coming into the county, and we have increased our outreach programs all along through that 25 years. But since Brett has come, we have really been working it hard. We've come up with newsletters, cafeterias of veterans benefits. The outreach is just tremendous, and we're getting people in the office every day. I was in there yesterday for 4.5 hours. We had people just walking in all the time, and I think that's great. They feel comfortable coming in and just asking questions. So that's about all I have.
Well, Harlan, I'm glad to hear you're happy with space. I know we did some horse trading trying to figure all that out. I'm glad it ended up working out to your satisfaction.
We had some discussions.
Actually, I brought a plaque along this morning that I wanted to present that to Harlan. This is kind of a second opportunity to recognize Harlan for 25 years of service. I don't know if we've had a commissioner that served 25 years for sure, but... Well, he's been around a long time, and I think I'm the fourth director that he's been a commissioner that's been working for Story County. And, you know, I just really want to thank him yesterday, you know, I called him about 8 o'clock. I said, hey, I've got these appointments out of the office. Either you can go do those appointments for me or come in the office, which one you want to do, you know, and I'll be right in the office. And he was there. I said, get here about 10, and he's here 9:45, you know, ready to go and enjoy it. And he's just a real advocate for the office. But when I initially gave him this plaque, it was Memorial Day up in McCallsburg. So I actually had him and his wife up on the stage. And I'm telling you, I'm giving him this is a surprise deal. And his phone rings. And I thought, well, he's not going to answer that, is he? Nope, he answers it. And because he's thinking after we leave the Legion, we're going to the cemetery, and we need a bugle player out there for taps. So he's talking on the phone to this lady that called him about playing taps. You know, so... So here we kind of stopped the deal while he could make his, you know, get this all set up. So, I mean, the man's just continuously working on getting things, you know, set up. You know, as a commissioner, he spent a quarter of a century helping veterans in need. Sometimes I've seen him twist a little arms every once in a while to get veterans to do the right thing and to apply for those benefits. If it wasn't for them, maybe do it for their family. And he's just a real advocate for veterans, and his passion for making them aware of their earned benefits has resulted in county veterans receiving compensation and health benefits, as in those numbers that I just told you. And Harlan's a real asset to the commission and the veterans of Story County. You know, we have a supermarket every year, and it's been a couple of years back, but I kind of divided up the commissioners, and I told Harlan, I says, you know, if you want to work the 8 to 12 with me, and then the other two commissioners can work the afternoon. Well, he didn't really want to work the 8 to 12. He wanted to work the 8 to 4. That way he would be there all day, and he could see all the veterans. And, you know, when we're setting up programs, Harlan's kind of my anxiety, really, in setting up programs and what can go wrong and all those kind of things. A lot of those questions that he can come up with, that we can get answered and kind of fix the issues before they become issues. And actually, you know, yesterday he helped out in the office, and I believe today he's helping out the health and the wellness expo in Ames. For the Freedom Flight. So I just really want to thank Harlan for his time and thank him as a commissioner, thank him for his service in the U.S. Army and in Vietnam, and continued service as an advocate for Story County veterans. I have a plaque here for you.
Yeah.
And so Let's open the floor up to Harlan if he's got anything else he wants to say.
Well, Brett didn't tell you, but when he presented this to me Memorial Day, have you guys ever heard me speechless, couldn't say anything?
No, never have.
Well, I got up there, and I got to thinking about all the veterans that I've helped in the past, and I got choked up, and I couldn't bring myself to say one word. And Brett, he kept looking at me with a smile on his face like, Harlan, you're supposed to talk. But anyway, the way I broke the non-ability to talk was I asked everybody if they wanted to hear me sing a solo. And everybody started laughing because they know I can't sing. And so then that kind of broke it. So I went on and received the plaque. So we did make it. But like Brett said, you know, there's been a lot of changes. I've gone through a lot of supervisors. I've gone through a lot of directors. But still, the goal is to continuously bring the veterans to their benefits. And I just feel that this is my passion. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy helping the veterans of Story County. And the job is very fulfilling. So,
well, clearly it's a passion for you, and you're an asset to Story County, and we thank you for your first 25 years.
Yeah,
for some more.
Also want to thank his wife, Yvonne. She's here in the audience, and she's a real support at home, and I'm sure she takes a lot of phone calls.
Well, really, I told her I was going to have her stand up. Yvonne, would you stand up? She also works for the county in the auditor's office, but she has been a big support in letting me get out of the house and go do these things, and she probably gets tired of hearing me talking Veterans Affairs and the benefits, because no matter where I'm at in the United States, and I do a lot of traveling, I always run into a veteran, and I try to lead them in the right direction.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much.
Could we get a picture?
You got it.
Who's going to play Wayne?
My wife. I thought it was in Wayne's contract that we weren't allowed to take pictures without
him. Well, Wayne is our liaison, and he's not here.
Yeah.
So.
Harlan Tweet's got you covered.
Renee wants to get down low so she can get my legs.
Well, I, on the other hand, will go up high so I don't get your legs.
No.
All right. Thanks, Harlan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, item 9, we have no public hearing items, which takes us to additional items. And the first additional item is discussion and consideration of the effective date for the 30-day cigarette tobacco suspension order for Ballard Golf and Country Club. Paul, you want to take us through this one?
I'll try. The Board of Supervisors issues the permits to sell cigarettes in businesses in the unincorporated areas of the county, and it's my understanding that the Ballard Golf and Country Club received a citation for selling cigarettes to a minor. And as a result of that, they can either pay a fine, and I can't remember what the fine is. I think it's a $1,500 fine, or they can take a 30-day suspension of their permit. So we just need to, and apparently the management at Ballard has decided to take the suspension in lieu of the $1,500 fine. So we just need to set a 30-day suspension period.
Is there anybody here from Ballard Golf and Country Club? My feeling is simple enough. If they were caught doing something wrong, there's a penalty for that. It's either the fine or the 30-day suspension. And for me, you know, justice delayed is justice missed. I mean, if they want to take the suspension, that's great, but let's go.
I would move that we set the effective date for the suspension of August 1st through August 30th of 2012.
Second. Any further discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Passes. August 1st will be the effective date of the 30-day suspension. Second item is consideration of Asset Panel 1's recommendation of $16,276 for Heartland Senior Services Nutrition Special Request.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, thanks.
A couple of weeks ago, I came to you with a request from Heartland Senior Services on their nutrition program, which covers home-delivered meals and congregate meals throughout the county. And at that point in time, the board had approved $934 of the There's $17,210 left within the general fund of the asset total allocation for fiscal year 12, and $934 of that had previously been allocated to Heartland and not drawn down. So the board did approve those dollars going to Heartland and then referred the rest of the request to Asset Panel 1 for consideration. So Panel 1 met on July 2nd and looked at the requests actually for both the county and the City of Ames. The City Ames City Council had referred it to Panel 1 as well. And lots of discussion about the things that Heartland has been doing and taking a look at their services and looking at the actual cost of those services and trying to do some cleaning up of that. And it had been discussed that the recommendation for the county portion be the remainder of the $16,276, and that be a one-time funding for Heartland, and so then passing that request on to the board for consideration.
Yeah, can you give I really appreciate it. That's exactly what I know I asked for and what I believe we were doing. Can you give us the high points of the rationale that Panel 1 used?
Yeah, well, they looked at funder priorities, and this does meet one of the county priorities in terms of providing services to people to allow them to remain in their homes versus moving on to more costlier levels of care. So they took a look at that. We also talked about initially when Executive Director Liz Beck came to Asset late December of 2011, notifying us that there would be a request, and they were looking at the numbers. Initially, the request our deficit was about $90,000, and they did bring that down to around the $32,000 range with some other things that they put in place. So we know that there's been this ongoing communication, several meetings involving the asset administrative team and the volunteers, and just knowing that Heartland has been trying to work this out. And they realize this doesn't fulfill their entire request. They will be looking at things between July 1st and December 31st and deciding by January 1st what services and programs will continue, and if they need to cut back on any, what cuts will be made. So I think they're looking at this realistically, and that has empowered the asset volunteers to feel that the numbers are correct, and that's why they felt comfortable with moving ahead on the recommendation.
Well, I'd say thank you to you for pulling back Asset Panel 1, and thank you to all of them for getting together and taking a look at this. As I've said before, I think our asset process is one of the models that others should strive to follow, and so I'm appreciative that they could dig in and look at this for us.
I think that's what the process, I mean, it's how it's supposed to work. And like Rick said, we appreciate the fact that they came back together and looked at this again at our request and the city's request. So I'll make a motion to approve the panel's recommendation of the $16,276 for the Heartland's Nutritional Fund and the special request for that funding.
Second. Further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and I will make sure.
Liz, thank you for the work you're doing.
Do you have anything you wanted to add? Okay.
Thank you.
I'll pass along your sentiments to the asset volunteers as well. Right. Thank you.
Thanks, Deb. All right. We have no departmental reports, no other reports, liaison assignments, and committee meetings. Anything from you? I'll just relay that emergency management, on behalf of Story County, we're going through the hazard mitigation update plan. We received 5 bids. We're in the process of evaluating those, and so it will be something that will come to the board at a later date once we get those evaluated. Public forum number 2. This is it for the Kellers and Shoemakers. Comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take action due to on these comments due to requirements of open meetings law, but they may do so in the future. And as I understand it, both of these comments are on the Jensen farm operation and their proposal, the manure management proposal, to put up a couple hog buildings, something that I know this board dealt with, I think, 2 weeks ago in terms of acknowledging it. I'd like to spend just a second and kind of go through the process. If a producer, and Paul, I'm going to ask you to help me out if I step on any of this since you're our resident farm boy, a producer who stays under 2,500 head of hogs has a certain set of requirements that they have to go through in order to be able to have those, none of which require any Board of Supervisor action. All we get to do is acknowledge. We get to acknowledge it and send it on to the DNR, but our role in this is to receive comments from the public and make sure that those are passed on to DNR as they go through their matrix and decide where this all ends up. And so in our role in that, we send out notification to all the landowners, which is how I'm sure you guys got here, and ask for your comments. I know I've received 3 comments to date on this one. 2 have been in opposition. 1 has been 4. I don't know if you've received any at this point.
I had 1, I think, on Friday. Actually, 2 on Friday. 1 on the phone and 1 subject in person that I met here in Nevada.
Okay.
In opposition to it.
And so what we would ask of all of you is you get to come up and state your name, state where you live, and give us your thoughts. We're recording it. We'll make sure that all the comments are passed on to DNR as all this goes through the process. So I will start. The one on top that I have is Keller. Right up here, you have a seat. And yes, please. Yes, absolutely.
And I might say that,
introduce yourself first so that we have it on record.
I'm Martha Keller, and really the only qualification I have is that I'm a taxpayer for about 60 years. Okay?
That's plenty.
I'm not a silver-tongued orator like everybody else is here. I did have a son in the first Gulf War. He was in the first unit into Basra. And all of these undeclared wars, we just dragged our feet about, didn't do anything. And now we're crying about the veterans, the poor veterans. Well, what are we going to be crying about next? The fact that we fouled our nest completely. And I heard on Michelson the other day that each pig in these finishing places produces 7 times as much manure as one human. And really, that's a small town situation, you know. Where is the septic system for this? And the stench and everything else that goes on. And I know that you guys say you have no authority about anything. We didn't receive any notice about this going in a mile east of us. You said you sent out notices for comments. We received nothing. The only thing we got...
I don't know that we send out notification for ones that don't
trigger the master matrix.
Well, we're on the list.
We'll check and make sure with our...
That would come from health, right?
Yep. Yes.
Well, you know, we own a little bit of property in the area that's affected. We received no notice. We finally did get a notice from somebody called Occupy Ames. And I think that is pretty lousy when you're a taxpayer and you're supposed to be hearing about these things. We never hear about anything until it's already a done deal. And, you know, back in Pennsylvania and Ohio, they're complaining about the fracking that's going on for natural gas. Well, somebody has referred to our situation here in Iowa as fecal fracking, where we inject this manure into the soil, supposedly. Everything is beautiful, everything is mowed, and it's all rather saintly. And I don't understand who is doing this. It seems to be there's a couple by the name of Hansen up in Iowa Falls that he's the CEO of the building where all these buildings are going up for the hog operations. And he's also in the business of the Iowa Select Farms. He's head of that. So, you know, shouldn't people that are affected by this, that are having their groundwater maybe, their noses affected, shouldn't they at least know who these people are, who the real ones behind this are? Maybe not the Jensens, you know, they're just the caretakers of the operation. So that's my comment. And I would like to say that I support my good neighbors here that are concerned because, you know, they're elderly. They bought what they thought was a nice little farmstead where they could have some peace and quiet for retirement. Now they have this operation going in a quarter of a mile east of them, and the manure fields directly across the road from them. And I think the time to do something is before it happens. We don't wait until we're involved in a undeclared war someplace and then cry about the outcome of it. We do something now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now Shoemakers.
I'm Maggie Shoemaker, and this is my husband, John. And we live at 62583 160th Street, which is less than a quarter of a mile from where this proposed hog lot will go in. We know that there will be a horrible stench. Not only that, but the ditch that runs in front of our house and in front of the hog lot, the county drain hasn't worked well for years. They've been out there, they worked on it. There is standing water. When it rains much, there's standing water there. But that runoff from the hog lot is going to be right up in our front yard. We like to garden. We like to work outside. We're in our 70s. We would not be able to do that because of the stench. And we had hoped that our aides were retired, that maybe we could sell our acreage and move to town in our older age. What kind, how are we going to sell it? What's our, the pollution is going to be terrible. And my phone, I forgot to turn it off. And we are so close there that there's no way it's not going to affect us. And, you know, I don't know why the Jensen didn't take into, why they didn't think about the neighbors. I'm sure there's a lot of money involved in this for them, but there is a lot of farmland around that does not have homesteads close by. And we're very, very much opposed to this lot going in. I guess that's about it.
Yeah, you come up here, Joe.
Okay.
Yep. Start by introducing yourself.
My name is Joe Kelleher, and
I'm going to ask you.
Son, sit down. Since we're recording all this, Joe.
Well, I'd rather stand. I just feel more comfortable standing and
move the microphone just a little closer so that we pick you up.
I think it's okay where it is.
Yeah.
Now, I went and talked to a woman named Foster, Mr. and Mrs. Foster. They live on a farmstead that's adjacent to one of the proposed manure fields. It's adjacent to it. And she said she never got any notice. So, you know, you're notifying landowners. She's right there on a farmstead adjacent to one of the two manure fields. She told me a few days ago she never got any notice. I never got any notice. My mom and dad never got any. They never got any. My brother Bill, who lives separately from mom and dad on a separate farmstead, he never got any. The only notice any of us ever got was my mom and dad happened to get a letter from this anonymous person in Ames who's some kind of activist. So that's what I had to say.
Thank you. Keller.
Where?
I have met you probably all season.
Yes. And that, what you're holding now, came from somebody from Ames. Is that okay?
It's from the Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement.
Okay. Yeah. Paul, I want to understand when we notify and when we don't, because I thought that just as common practice, the Board of Health notified when one of these came in.
I think they've talked about doing it for ones that are, you know, of the size that don't trigger the master matrix. I think we're required to. If they trigger the master matrix, I don't believe we're required to if they don't trigger it.
Yeah, and where I'm struggling is, okay, so I get that the master matrix gets triggered the second they get to 2,500 in the case of hogs. But this one is 2,490, and it just seems to me that, I mean, I think the comments are accurate. I know if I own property, well, you own property out there, wouldn't you like to know what's going on next to you? I think that's reasonable.
I think it's simply a matter that we have to determine if we're going to notify them. If it doesn't trigger the master matrix, if it's not that size, and if they do have to file a manure management plan, then maybe we just need to, as a rule, figure out how far out we want to notify our...
Well, and do we have the authority to do that as a county, knowing that this is convoluted, what the DNR gets to do and what we get to do?
I would think we would be able to.
Would you take that to the Board of Health? And
I will talk to Margaret in the Environmental Department, and we'll talk about it at our Board of Health meeting next month.
Okay, thank you. Further comments before we close down public forum number two. Anybody else have anything to add? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to announcements from the supervisors. None from me. And that leads us to the final item.
Adjournment.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned.